This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February the 16th. It's Friday, episode 1875. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, everybody. Well, this is the last day of our cruise. We're going to be exiting the ship today and heading on home. I'm sure we had a great time. We'll let you know on Monday, but we will be back on Monday. Jamie will be back, and Jennifer will be back. The whole team will be back on the show on Monday morning live. Today we have a best of episode for you, and we're going back to June the 3rd, 2016, to a Friday episode. So yes, we have some really bad ads. And we're going to be talking about pets of the ancient world. Plus, we have an illustrator from Disney on the show back then. He's the one that illustrated some of the horses in Tangled, so we talked to him. So I think if you didn't hear this episode way back when, you're going to really enjoy it today. And we'll be back here live on Monday. For all you live listeners, you can tune in Monday morning. Thanks, and have a terrific weekend, everybody. Well, good morning, everybody. It's Friday morning, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 3rd, episode 1443, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Horse World, it's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
So let the good times roll.
Let the good times roll. I don't care if you're young or old. Get together, let the good times roll.
Don't sit there mumbling. Yes, good Friday morning, everybody. How are you? Glenn, how's it going?
It's going well here in Florida. A lot better than it is for our friends in Texas. We're still thinking about you guys.
Chad's in Texas, and he just basically was like, yeah, it's 72 and raining here. It's kind of nice. I was like, shut up.
Yeah, the people in southern Texas are not so happy about the raining part. But you're going to hit record highs this weekend, I heard.
Say that with such positivity. Yeah. I'll keep that. Exciting. We're going to have up to 117 on Saturday. So all of
that's
you
riding
in the winter.
You're going to be out there in the desert riding your horses.
Man, doesn't that sound lovely and beautiful? Woo, I can't wait. It's going to be, no, it sucks. It's ridiculous. Hey, I know that there's a race coming up next weekend that you really don't care about and nobody really cares about.
What's that one called again?
That's the Belmont.
Oh, the Belmont. That's right.
Yeah. I know you forgot. But there's a huge race this weekend. This one. And it's going to be on Sunday, June 5th, race 2 at Santa Anita. It's a mile and a 16th. Victor Espinoza is on board. And Zyconic has drawn post position number 2. That's right. Zenyatta's baby's running again.
Was this the one that was, I'm still confused about her babies.
This is the fast one. He's run like 3 times and he came in like 2nd and then he came in 7th and then he was in 3rd this last race. Okay. So this is the one he's going to break his maiden this time. This is it.
And are you putting $100 to win on this one?
No, only because, I mean, where am I going to
not that confident.
I would if I was. No, I would not. But I would just like to say that he's raising this weekend and we will we'll keep you posted on that. This is Zenyatta's second baby.
And do you have your name in for this one in case it, you know, totally flunks out the racing thing?
He is in my virtual stable. Yes.
Yes. You and 5,000 other people.
Yeah, but most people just want him. I want him to be an event horse. So far, nobody's called.
Nobody.
I mean, I still have my name in for Zenyatta too, so we'll see what happens.
She's still kind of busy, isn't she? I think at this point.
I think she's kind of pregnant.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But anyway, so Someday. That's the exciting race that's going on this weekend. It's going to be awesome.
And when's that other race? Belmont?
Next weekend.
You do got we care, by the way? More... Do I care about Belmont this year?
Well, considering you said to me before, not even one of the Derby horses is going to run. I think Exaggerator is slated to run. And the also good news is that Nyquist has taken back to the track. He's jogging now. So he's feeling a lot better after his infection of sorts. They really never diagnosed what he had, but he had elevated white blood count. So we will we'll keep you up to date on him as well. But yeah, Nyquist is back. He's not going to be in the Belmont, though.
By the way, how much does this suck for Belmont management when you don't even have the winner of the Kentucky Derby running, let alone a chance of a Triple Crown?
I would imagine that it's not nearly as popular, considering
you think that the ratings
reaction
on TV is going to be about 10% of what it was last year.
I know. Yeah. It's got to suck for them.
But, I hope they banked some of that money they got in last year from the Triple Crown race. So They're going to need it.
Yeah, it'll be good. It's going to be good.
Well, Jennifer, what is coming up?
Coming up on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition. Following an informative, if slightly scattered, conversation about the pets of the ancient world, we're going to gallop into the 21st century, and we are going to welcome Disney animator Daniel Pix to the show to talk about all things animation and horses. Woohoo!
So cool.
And just before the credits roll, the inventor of smooth stride jeans, Desiree, is going to make a cameo appearance and pick this month's Really Bad Ads winner. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
And we have some really bad ads for you, too. A lot of them submitted this time. And more people finding really bad ads on their phones. I notice we're getting more screenshots now. So people are...
Oh, really?
Yeah, people are
screenshots
using...
Screenshots good, links bad.
Yeah, links bad, screenshots good. Because Jennifer loves it because she can just copy and paste it. It's much easier for her, actually.
I think I actually sent you a screenshot. Who knows?
It might be
if not, I've got a couple in my phone. Because being that I've been horse shopping for that girl.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so fed up. Like, buy a damn horse already. God.
Oh, tire kicker, huh?
Oh, God, I'm exhausted.
You haven't talked much about this. We'll have to get caught up on horse shopping. Everybody loves your horse shopping adventures.
Well, I'm going on Sunday morning to see the next one, so I'll give you guys the update on Monday.
All right, good.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, right. here's the problem, and let me just throw this out, and we'll see where it goes. Is these people hire me to do to find them a horse? They're not students of mine yet. It's a potential student, but they heard that I, was kind of in the English world around here, so they want help. So I said, "What's your budget? $3,000." Okay, I'll look for a diamond in the rough. But it needs to be something that's jumped, something that's safe, something that's sound, all these wonderful things for this small budget. Then, so I send them to a couple that are $3,000 and under, we go, and then none of those horses are trained enough or whatever. And then the girls start sending me horses that are $7,000 to $8,000. I'm like, I didn't know we could look in this price range. Well, they go with somebody else to go see a $7,000 horse, and they love the $7,000 horse because it's way better than the $3,000 horse, much more training, but then the horse doesn't vet. So then they come back to me going, "Oh, can you still help us?" And I'm like, "What's our budget? $3,000. You know what that teenager just sends me and her mother? $12,000 horses that they're like, "We'd like to go see these. Can you set that up?" What on God's green earth? We need to communicate here, and we need to find out. And then, so I talked to the mother. I'm like, "What's going on? Where are we with the whole budget thing? $3,000. Well, then why are you looking at $12,000 horses? Well, we just, she just wanted to go see it, and we really liked this one. And then, we went to see one, but it didn't really work out. But then the guy brought out one, and it was $15,000. Okay. But we can't afford that. So are we looking for $12,000? Because I'm like, I will step up I will call friends if you've got a $15,000 budget. But if we had a $3,000 budget, I'm Craigslisting that ad. Let's go. So that is the current frustration.
Do they know and you so, have a radio show, by the way?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so.
No, I don't. I tell no one. I'm sure I'm supposed to, like, you know, promote my own show, but I can't talk about everybody.
Everybody should know that anybody that's been on radio for any period of time, you just have, yeah, stories no, are going to come out.
I'm talking about you. Yeah. That's why I want you to know nothing.
All right,
like, I'm not showing up at somebody's place going, hey, I'm interested in riding your horse for shopping. And by the way, I have a radio show.
Yeah, I have a radio
show. No, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Because, definitely not.
Because they would be kicking you out of the property. You can leave now.
Exactly. Yeah, thank you. We heard your show yesterday.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Yeah. Daily Winnie time. Well, happy birthday to Max Cochran. It's her birthday today. Max is the host of the Eventing Radio Show and superstar groom extraordinaire. And we wish her the very best of birthdays and have a great weekend there, Max. Also, we wanted to welcome, we have some new auditors that have come on board this week, quite a few of them, actually. So we wanted to welcome them. We have Tracy and Laura, Tyler and Susanna that we're welcoming to the fold.
TJ.
So a whole bunch of them. So we're glad you're here, and we appreciate you being part of the Horse Radio Network. If you'd like to learn how to become an auditor, just head over to horsesinthemorning.com. There's a banner right there. For as little as $1 a month, you can become an auditor. So,
and you can join the Facebook page where you can actually post things about your horse and nobody will rip you.
That's right.
That's what's the most exciting part.
That's right. We delete bad posts. You know, I have never had to delete a post out of that Facebook page.
No, I haven't either.
It's been very positive. So, yep, it's a good place to be. Your turn.
Oh, dear God. When is my husband coming home? So, you guys talked to me this morning, pre-show meeting, and you're like, how's it going? I'm still here, I said. And that's about where I'm at. Chad is, you know, learning to save the planet. And last night I came in from turning the horses out, and, you know, I'm trying to manage a now 3-year-old at the same time as doing 2 jobs and having a farm and trying to survive. And we walked in the house and he's confused. I need versus I want. And I need is the chosen word, and I want is nowhere to be found. And we walk in the house and he's like, mom, I need dinner. I need dinner. Okay, bud, have a seat and I'll go get it. Mom, I need to go swim. Wait, I need to ride Chili. Mom, it's getting dark. I need popcorn. I need to go cook eggs. I wrote these down. I need to watch Minions again. I need to go play trains. I need daddy. Yeah, I know. I need daddy too, more than you even know right now, because I'm about to drop kick you. I mean, my God, that was like 16 I needs in like 30 seconds. So I sit him down. I'm like, listen, one thing at a time. What do you need? I need dinner. Okay, I'll go get dinner. Mom, I need to watch TV. Oh my God. The whole, like, you know, sitting down and having a discussion with him is not working quite yet. I said, you're 3. Mom, I need a diaper. No, you need to poop in the potty. No poop in the potty. I need a diaper. I need popcorn. Like, one thing is not related. So that's my daily winning. It goes out. I don't know. Me? I'll give it to me. I deserve it.
And all the single moms out there. And all the moms out there don't need to even be single. But happen to be single right now.
You single mamas? Because I'm like a non-single single mom. Which is the worst, because then you don't even get to online date or anything, you know, I'm a single mom nun. It's horrible.
I knew it was going to be one of those days, everybody, when we did the pre-show meeting today, because
because that's how my life is. Thanks.
Because that's how our life is. Well, I have a
toss that in with the $3,000 horse. My life, I'm like ready to go drown. Sorry.
Well, before I have an interesting thing I read yesterday. And I thought this was a lot of fun, actually. It was about, it was an article that was written by a historian. Listening to Liz Cobart's Ben Franklin's World podcast now has me all fired up about history again. So I was reading this article yesterday about the pets of ancient Egypt. So here, you want to hear about some of the pets of ancient Egypt? Now we're talking pharaohs and all of that time, right?
Cats, right?
3,000 to 10,000 BC, you know, that, that era, a long time ago. So what do you think was the most popular pet in ancient Egypt?
Like I said, cats.
You're absolutely right. They loved cats. Cats were the most popular because of the their association with the goddess Bastet. But also, on a practical level, they ate mice and rats. So,
oh, okay. That makes sense.
So they were very popular back then. They also had, and they had many other pets back then that we consider exotic animals today, such as baboons and monkeys and hippos and falcons, all different kinds of animals. But dogs were also in play. Dogs required more care, so they were often kept by the upper classes who were better able to afford them. The dog was important in Egypt, and no matter what your social status, a dog was considered important. Dogs served the roles. They hunted. They also served as guard and police dogs. Isn't that interesting? A lot of similarities to today. They were used in military actions, the same as we use them today. I doubt they were sniffing out bombs, but they were used for attack roles and for finding people back then, too, and as household pets. They know a lot of this because, of course, the Egyptians were really good at writing on walls. So they can determine a lot of it from what they the writings that the Egyptians did. The dog breeds of ancient Egypt that were popular were the Basenji, the Greyhound, the Abyssinian. I-B-I-Z-A-N?
No clue.
Yeah. The Saluki and the Whippet. So all fast dogs, a lot of sight hounds were included. The Basenji is considered one of the oldest breeds in the world. The first writings on cave walls and things that they have were what they think were a descendant of the, or were the early Basenjis. Domesticated dogs were buried with their owners a lot of times, and also in great...
Yeah, that can't be good for the dog.
No, it was that they went at the same time because they believed that they spent time in the afterlife together. But if the dog died before the owner, they were buried with great ceremony. And that was done because they wanted the deceased dog to pass on easily into the afterlife. And in the afterlife in Egypt was known as the Field of Reeds, R-E-E-D-S, the Field of Reeds.
Well, that'd get boring.
I know, just reeds. They would continue to enjoy life in the afterlife. So they were really highly valued in Egypt. Dogs were as a family pet, and they would have the dogs mummified, and as much as they would humans, members of the family. They displayed great grief when a family dog died, and they showed their grief when they were grieving for something in ancient Egypt. They would shave their bodies completely, including the eyebrows. Now, most Egyptian men and women at that time had their head shaved, and they did that to avoid lice and just basic hygiene. And that's why you see, like in the old movies, you see them with bald heads. But the absence of eyebrows was the most notable sign of grief. So that's how you could tell somebody was grieving, was they shaved their eyebrows off.
Okay, that's just weird.
So a lot of this is just weird. So there were tomb paintings of the pharaoh Ramses the Great that depict him with his hunting dogs in the Field of Reeds. And that's how they kind of determined how important dogs were in the afterlife, that they really were there. Now, they would sacrifice the dogs and cats. If a pharaoh died, then everybody had to go in the tomb with the pharaoh. So that was part of what they did.
Even like wives and stuff.
Yeah. Well, they did that even with kids and stuff.
They killed
then.
Their kids.
Yeah. Some of the kids, they were usually not the oldest born, but some of the younger born, sometimes would be buried with.
That seems
with
wholesale unfair.
Now the cats were so revered and so revered that the penalty for killing a cat in Egypt, even by accident, was death. So it is highly unlikely that cats were killed for sacrifices, because they thought that they killed cats for sacrifices to goddesses and things like that. But they determined through the writings that that wasn't the case, that cat, it was, you could be in big trouble for killing a cat. They were so prized that it was illegal to export them out of Egypt. And they actually made a branch of the government. This is not the United States, by the way. They actually made a branch of the government to deal with the issue of exporting cats. Government agents were dispatched to other countries and other lands to find and return cats that had been smuggled out. Now, there's a good use of taxpayer dollars right there.
That's ridiculous.
Egyptians also kept other animals. Falcons were kept and represented the power of the gods. And they were highly prized as pets, so mostly the wealthy kept falcons. The gazelle was another popular pet. Apparently, there was one pharaoh that lived in 1990 BC that loved her pet gazelle so much that she ordered a specially crafted sarcophagus for it. The coffin is carved with the image of the gazelle and formed it to fit its body. The mummified gazelle, which was handled with the same care as given the human body, was found in her tomb. When they actually found her tomb, this gazelle was found in there as well. So that's how they know. And then the other thing, and this went through Roman times too, the Romans kept a lot of baboons and monkeys. They were considered loving companions, and they kept a lot of monkeys and baboons. Apparently, in Roman times, if you were wealthy, you had a monkey. And there were a lot of tombs found with monkeys buried at the feet of the owners. So,
really?
Yeah, monkeys were very popular back then. And it's funny because they actually had cave drawings of monkeys. One of the reasons they liked monkeys is they used them as robots. They were trained, and apparently they were quite useful for fetching things, for retrieving objects. So they basically used them as household slaves, I think, in many cases.
This is ridiculous. I think I'm still stuck on the fact that if you die, they slaughter everything that you
I think that was only if you were, like, really important.
Okay, so
yeah, if
most of us have our kids killed.
We're probably not being buried in a tomb with a, you know, and being mummified either, because it was very expensive.
Be like Weekend at Bernie's. Remember that? Be like, my husband died. Be like, hey, and you make him wave. Yeah. Hey, how's it going? Okay.
God, I forgot about that movie. One of the classics of all time.
I mean, come on.
So there you go. There's the pets of ancient Egypt. Now you know more than you ever wanted to about how they felt about pets back then. I do have.
I would like to point out that while you were reading that, my dog started barking, and I looked outside, and there's a loose horse galloping around behind my property, and I panicked, and then I realized it's not mine.
That's a first.
Hey,
we should count the number of times you've had to go out and retrieve loose horses.
Yeah, wasn't mine.
Hey,
exciting.
Guess what we saw out and back? There's a pasture right behind our pasture, so it's about 100 yards, about a football field away from the barn, and we saw two red foxes out there this morning, hanging out in the pasture out there. They are not big. They are tiny. Red foxes.
I bet you I could get a couple coyotes to show up real quick. Just leave my chickens out.
Yeah, I bet you could. You know, we've talked about Penn National Racetrack several times here, and it's one of the lower end tracks, to put it kindly, in Pennsylvania. It's near where we grew up, and we would go to Penn National, watch the races if we were going to the races. They're not known for having the most ethical trainers in the world, and there's been a lot of news stories about them getting arrested here recently. Well, I think that we're turning a new stone, and I found this story interesting because sometimes we do cover, you know, racing and trainers that are getting in trouble for drugging and things. Well, there's this trainer named Murray Rojas, R-O-J-A-S. How do you say that?
Rojas.
Rojas, thank you. Age 50 of Grantville, Pennsylvania. Well, he was indicted. I think we even talked about this story. He was indicted back in 2013, I believe. And it was for drugging. Well, now after being investigated by, I think, every agency there was, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture's Horse Racing Commission, the Federal Drug Administration, the Office of Criminal Investigations, and the United States Attorney's Office, they have now brought additional charges on this, it's a female, have brought additional charges on this person that include all kinds of federal indictments. And what they're saying, and this is interesting, this is a new way to go after this. And what this person did was took the labels off of drugs and labeled them other things and then got vets to administer them. So basically,
jeez.
Yeah, I mean, really went all out here. But they're actually getting this person for wire fraud is one of the top charges here. And the way they're getting her for wire fraud is they're saying that because betting is across state lines, the money goes to the track and then the track distributes it through wires now automatically to the bank accounts through wire transfers. Now they're getting this person because they drugged their horses and won $124,000. They're getting this person for wire fraud, which carries a 20 to 30 year federal sentence.
Have we ever seen
anything like this before? I don't think so. Not like this. We've seen them get slapped in the wrist. They lose their trainer's license usually, right? They can't, you know, train in that state anymore. Maybe if it's really bad, they can't train anywhere anymore. But wire fraud, you know, federal charges, five, including the FBI investigating. I think they're setting a precedent here. I think that's really what they're trying to do.
That's like getting the biggest gangster on tax evasion.
Exactly.
Oh, wait, that happened.
Yeah, no, then that's how they usually get them. What? Right. They either get them on tax evasion or wire fraud is the two things they get them on. But I like how they routed this through. The betting comes to the track. The track pays them. And it's interstate, which is why the FBI, because people bet out of state. So that is very interesting. I think we might see, if this sticks, we're going to see a whole lot of nervous trainers out there.
I hope so. Don't be bad people. Just don't be bad.
Let's do it the right way. If everybody does it the right way, nobody will have an advantage, right?
So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I thought that was very interesting. Another interesting court case. It is Freestyle Friday. I'm all over the place today, but I just found these fascinating. And this one is a good thing, I think. There was a parade on Memorial Day. And what happened was, a couple of years ago, and what happened was there was a 4 and an 8-year-old in the parade riding a pony. It was part of an equestrian group. So it's a smaller, you know, town parade. A spectator decides to walk across the street and decided that, you know, it would be a good time to do it would be in front of the horses. So the spectator that was walking across the street had a chair in his hand or her hand, had a chair in her hand, went walking across the street, and the chair scared the pony. The pony dumped the kids. The pony ran over the spectator.
Ah!
So, you know, obviously, the spectator takes the owners of the horses and the parade to court. Well, they have in Iowa, this was in Iowa, they have an Equine Activity Liability Act. Well, the spectator was claiming that in the Liability Act, it says that you can't be negligent, you know, that you still have to be in control of the animals and you can't be negligent. Well, so the spectator's saying it was negligence not to have somebody leading the pony with the kids riding it. The judge, in a rare thing, actually came down on the side of horses and said, that we're going to dismiss this case. It can't go to court because the failure to have the pony led with a lead rope did not qualify as reckless conduct. And the court also rejected and dismissed the claim that they were faulty for defective equipment. They also claimed that there was defective equipment because there was no lead rope attached to the pony. I love how they tried to get around that one. And the judge threw that out also. So the case has been dismissed. You know, stupidity of walking in front of the horses, well, you know, was something, I guess, that the judge threw out there as a given. But, yeah, so this one went in favor of the horses and the liability law held up, which is why, you know, this caught my attention, is because you do wonder if those are going to hold up in court. And this is a case in a parade where they actually held up.
Crazy.
So very cool. Yeah. I thought that was interesting also.
Well, yeah. At least we're going the right direction anyway. We'll see what happens next with if they take it to a higher court.
Actually, the appellate court refused it. They did try and take it to a higher court, and the appellate court refused it and said, yeah, we're going to stand with the lower court's ruling.
So the rule there is do not walk in front of ponies with lawn chairs in parades.
In parades, yeah. Not a good idea. Probably better to walk in front of the float with the guy driving the tractor. Less likely that the tractor is going to spook and run your ass over.
Or just stay where you are. Everybody knows the rules of parades. That's right. Once the parade starts, you don't cross, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've actually seen people crossing like right in the middle of the band. You know? there's a little break in the band between like the cheerleaders and the band, and there's people crossing. Yeah, not good.
You're less likely to cause an issue if you cross in front of the baton twirlers. Although they're armed, they could whack you with a baton if they're a little cranky about you crossing in front of them. I take that back. Just don't cross. Just don't.
Well, let's take a break for Kentucky Performance Products, and then we're going to come back with a fun guest that I'm really looking forward to. We're all big Disney fans. We know a ton of our listeners are big Disney fans. Some of them were down there at the Disney Stables last week on their honeymoon, riding at the Disney Stables, and we did a show from Tri-Circle D Ranch last year. We're hoping to go back again this year, and we're going to be talking with one of the animators who happened to animate one of our favorite horses in all the Disney movies, and that's Maximus. And Entangled. We're going to talk to him in just a minute, but first, we have to hear from Kentucky Performance Products.
She had waited all her life for this moment, dreaming about it since she was 10 years old. The trailer ramp touched the ground. He whinnied as she backed him out, swinging his head around to get a good look at his new home. His coat gleamed in the sun. Her love had arrived. She was breathless. He was beautiful. She could hardly wait to tack him up and start off on what she was sure would be the best times of her life. This love story is brought to you by Contribute, providing essential omega-3 fatty acids that help maintain low inflammation levels throughout your horse's body. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
Well, we thank KPP. You can find them also on Facebook. Just search for Kentucky Performance Products. Well, now we have, and I have to call him live here on Skype, so we'll add him into the conversation. We have Daniel coming on with us, who works for Disney, Walt Disney Animation, and he is an animator for them and has done a lot of cool stuff with Disney. We hope we can get him on here through Skype. Are you back with us, Jamie?
I'm here.
We need a TikTok sound.
Yeah. Well, usually Jennifer can handle getting him. Oh, and I didn't get him. So we'll try him again. We'll try him again in a minute. So is Maximus one of your favorite Disney horses?
It's got to be. I mean, there's no Disney horse that I remember that has had that much personality or that big a role, really, in any animated movie.
He was one of the funnier ones, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He is one of the best. And we watched Tangled. It's one of the downloaded movies on the iPad. So Tangled is on all the time. And so to talk to somebody who animated Maximus, I mean, come on, that's awesome.
Daniel, do we have you with us this morning? Oh, I can't hear you, Daniel. I think we have you, but I can't hear you.
Turn on your microphone.
Yeah. I don't know what's happening, but
this is the magic of radio.
Yeah, that's right.
When you're calling somebody live.
That's correct.
This is the magic of radio combined with the magic of Disney. They're canceling each other out.
No, see, if it was the magic of Disney, we'd hear Daniel right now. That's right.
The magic of Disney, Daniel would be sitting right next to me.
That's right. On Maximus, actually.
Maximus.
Daniel, I'm going to try you back. We don't seem to be able to hear you. So we'll give him a call to try back here.
But yeah, he also worked in one of my favorite, not just Disney movies, our favorite movies is Wreck-It Ralph. If you guys haven't seen Wreck-It Ralph.
Daniel, are you there?
Hello.
There you are. We got you now.
Everything works now.
We're glad to have you on. We're so excited to talk to you. We're all huge Disney fans, and we did our show from Disney World at Tri-Circle D Ranch. By the way, we want to thank Robin Walker for help getting this set up. She's been terrific, and a bunch of our listeners have been over there for trail rides since we were there. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk to you guys.
You're a little bit quiet. Can you come a little bit closer to the microphone? I think that would help.
Really? Yeah. What about now?
That's better. Yep, definitely. So we've had so many listeners asking questions this morning. You worked on so many cool movies, Tangled, Wreck-It Ralph, which is one of our favorites, Frozen, Zootopia, and worked with Maximus and Sven, which is so cool. One of my best favorite characters in Frozen. because we're all animal lovers here. But, you know, we're getting so many questions in from the listeners, and one of them is, I've always wanted to be an animator, and I think every little kid growing up wants to be a policeman or an animator. So how did you do it? How did you become an animator and end up at one of the coolest places to work?
Well, I was always really obsessed with animation when I was a little kid back in Spain. And you know, at the time, it was like a very impossible thing to even be able to do that as a job, right? Slowly, I was like, I had the chance. Well, I was always drawing. I learned. I went to art school, and I had this chance to learn animation in London. I had this opportunity. The college, they gave me like a scholarship. So I decided to give it a try, and because I always wanted to learn how to do animation, so studying in London was like really the beginning of my career, and I really went from there, working slowly in little projects, commercials and stuff, and then slowly, you know, getting better things until I end up doing like my first feature film in London. And then that kind of opened the door for other feature films. And then, you know, slowly I end up doing this one big movie in Europe called Planet 51. It's a movie about aliens.
Yeah, I remember
that. It's kind of a reverse story. It's like an alien world, which is like the Earth. And there is this human who invades he visits. Like, it's like E.T., but in reverse. So he visits... the planet of aliens, he becomes friends of one of the aliens. Anyway, that movie kind of was a huge hit in Europe, and it was internationally released also in the United States, and that kind of opened the door for me to try to show my portfolio to the big studios like Disney, I was lucky enough that they look at my work and they like it, and they decided to hire me for my first movie was for Tangled in 2009.
Well, now before we get to Tangled, I just have a quick question for you. Did they still require you to be able to draw in addition to doing CG?
It's not a requirement anymore, actually. If you know how to draw, it's a plus, but it's not totally a requirement because we're doing everything on the computer. It's more similar to puppetry what we do. Like, we actually manipulate these puppets on the computer, and it's, you know, you have to have a sense of acting, you have to have a sense of animation, but there's no really a requirement of knowing how to draw. So, but it's definitely a plus. And if you have a background in drawing or traditional animation, it's totally a plus, you know.
Well, then you started out with Tangled. And of course, one of our favorite horses in all the Disney movies is Maximus. Was there a horse that you used in studio? Did you bring a horse into the studio to study it? How did that all happen?
Well, we didn't bring a horse at the studio, but I don't know if you know, but the Disney Animation Building is right on the Equestrian neighborhood in Burbank.
Oh, okay.
So we had plenty of reference like live horses right next to us in the building. So I would normally see them live very very often close to the to the building. So it was a good reference for us. It was not weird to see people riding horses to in the middle of the street, like along with cars and stuff. So that was good. And then I used a lot of videos from, you know, in the internet. Just
well, if there's a horse like Maximus, I want it. Yeah. I want that one.
I think it was inspired on an Andalusian horse.
Well, and I can tell you this, Jamie, if you head out to Disney World, you can see Maximus because Maximus is at the Tri-Circle D Ranch at Disney World right now.
Well, cool.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll just go to Disney World.
So how does it work? Can you explain how the process of animating, say, Maximus happens if you're not drawing it?
Yeah, I come from a 2D animation background, so I do a lot of drawings in preparation for my CG stuff. So I normally would do like a, you know, very rough 2D animation just to plan my work to see what the CG is going to look like, more or less. And like I said, we look at videos to reference for this shot that I was doing. I don't know if you remember a shot where Maximus is trying to reach Flynn Rider and Rapunzel is not letting him. Rapunzel is kind of putting herself in the middle.
Yes.
And
she
stops Maximus. And of course, he doesn't want to hurt her. So Maximus has to kind of pull the brakes. And he does this cartoony kind of thing. And he tries to kind of move past Rapunzel, but she doesn't let him. Anyway, to do that shot, I looked at videos of horses, you know, galloping and you know, doing things like that. And then the process is basically you get these virtual puppets, like this it's almost like a toy in the computer, and you can manipulate it, and you can, you know, it has all these joints that you can move around and pose. And you basically pose each frame, each important keyframe, you pose it like if it was a puppet, and then you put that in the time, and then you hit play, and you see all those poses playing, and it gives you an illusion of movement, right? So, and the computer helps a lot, like, to calculate the in-between poses. And that's basically the process, and then after that, you put more detail, more movement, more keyframes, and you know, you can tweak every little detail imaginable, like every movement of the eyelid. Everything can be tweaked and you know, and precisely adjusted to the director's, you know, whatever his vision is, you know. So it's hard to explain it without visuals and just talking,
Well, it sounds like this whole process takes, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes? Real quick, huh? Super short. Easy.
Well, yeah, not really.
No. Like, so how long does it take? Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, a shot like that, like the shot that I was talking to you, it's almost like 4 seconds of animation. That can take up to 2 weeks of work.
Whoa.
Just for the movement of the characters. And then after the movement, you need to put the lights and you need to put the colors and the texture.
Well,
and, you know, all the departments are working together to get the final picture. But my job is only the movement and the performance.
But are you doing the... This is what I'm confused about, because at the end of the movies, you see all the credits and there's 5,000 animators, right? So are you just doing that one scene? And then one of the listeners asked this too. If you're just doing that one scene that involves Maximus, and then Maximus is in the whole movie pretty much, are there other animators doing all those other scenes? And then how do you maintain the fluidity and the consistency of let's just take Maximus in this case, throughout the whole movie, if you're not doing him through the whole thing?
Every animator does average of a minute or 2 minutes of animation in one movie, more or less. Wow. So we are not doing only one scene. We do several scenes involving different characters. And yeah, we have to really work as a team and really have like a single-minded kind of, you know, philosophy. You cannot be individual in this. You know, you have to really, if you do a scene with Maximus, you have to look at other people who has done a scene with the same character and kind of talk to them and make sure we're all on the same page on how to make him move. How does he walk? How does he run? How does he do a reaction to something? You know, all these things, we have to be on the same page. And we have tools to do that, too. We have libraries in place so we can pull from those libraries, you know, and reuse some of the animation that somebody has done, or like a pose or face, facial expressions. We can reuse from somebody else's shot and put it into our shot and work from there. And also the directors and the supervisors are in charge of making sure that we are doing the same character, that we are not doing different versions of one character. So yeah, it's all about teamwork and, you know.
That's amazing.
Everything is very planned. You know, before we start doing our work of animation, they have worked very hard in the storyboards and in the script to make sure that the character is consistent and everything. So everything has already been planned for us. So when we come in, the character is already more or less defined, but we give it an extra personality when we do the animation. We made him performant in front of the camera, and we actually give the final result of the movement of a character. So we are responsible that it's always consistent, you know?
Now, with Sven, I heard that, did they actually bring a reindeer in to the studio and do the whole... we kind of heard that. I don't know if that was a rumor or not.
It is true. It's true. They did bring a reindeer. I think it was a very old reindeer. Because he didn't have one of his antlers. So it was only one antler. He looked very sad without... You know,
look broken.
Yeah, it was kind of broken, and he didn't move much. He was just sitting there. He seemed kind of tired, and it was
not at all. Out,
yeah, that no. Sven didn't look like that at all.
It wasn't like Sven at all. But anyway, it's cool to have like a real animal in there to get inspired and, you know, to get some reference, but. Now, yeah, Sven is pretty active.
Do you guys do the thing where you hook all the monitors up to people to get the movements and the stuff? Are you guys doing that too for your movies?
No, you're talking about motion capture?
Yes.
No, we don't do that. We try to keep our movies very stylized, and we don't want to make realistic movements. We want to make sure that the characters are believable, first of all, and are as entertaining as possible. You know, we want to differentiate ourselves from other movies, like the visual effects movies, the live action, all that stuff, that they're using all these very realistic movements, you know, especially for human beings. We try to keep the human characters very stylized and not ultra realistic. You know, there's always even when you look at, you know, some character like, I don't know, like Rapunzel, like she's very human, but at the same time she has a cartoony proportions, you know, and she has these big eyes, and, you know, she's like your typical Disney characters, so you don't want to make her completely realistic in her movements. You want to have a little bit more stylized. You know, it's the kind of the house style that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you see a drawing and you know it's a Disney character, because I wish my eyes were that big and my waist was that small, but it just doesn't happen in the real world.
Yeah,
it's a cartoon. Now, I wanted to ask you, when you were working on Frozen, did you think to yourself or know to yourself that this was like the movie that was going to change the world? I went trick-or-treating with my son last year, years after Frozen came out, and every freaking little girl is Elsa. Like, did you
Did you know that that was going to happen?
We didn't have any idea this would be that big. I mean, we were thinking, oh, this is going to be another Tangled, you know, oh, this is Tangled on Ice. You know, when you work so many hours into one movie, you start to be like very critical of your work, and you think, oh, maybe it will be successful, but we never imagined it would be that successful, you know.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it changed the world for kids, for sure.
Oh my God, yeah. It was a big, for me at least, it was like a big, I mean, I knew it was going to be successful and people were going to love it, but not that at this level, you know.
Right, absolutely. So when you're doing, say you're involved with Sven, and at that time, Hans is saying something. I've seen these movies way too many times. And so he's saying something. Is the voice in before the animation, or does the voice come after?
All the voice actors are doing their work before we do the animation.
Okay.
Normally, these movies are edited way before anything else is produced. You know, the editing comes first. It's completely the opposite of live action movies, where you film a bunch of stuff, you know, you go into the location, you get as much footage as possible, like different angles, you know, different coverage, and then in the editing room the movie gets made, right? That's the live action system. In animation, because it's so expensive to produce each second of animation, it's very expensive, so they try to minimize the amount of animation you produce. And nothing has to go to waste, you know? So the system has always been like, since the very beginning, like editing comes first. Like you do storyboards, you do like simple, you know, animatics, temporary sound effects, temporary music, temporary voice recordings, and all that gets together into like a blueprint of a movie. Like very much so that you can see the blueprint and you can tell if the movie works or not, you know, if the story works or not, you know, even if the drawings are very like rough and everything is rough around the edges, but you can still see the whole movie edited, you know. So once that is approved and that looks like a good movie and the editing works and the timing works, everything, then it goes into production and then we start to animate.
So you're animating to the voices that are already recorded. The actors have already done it. Okay.
Yeah, part of our work is make sure that the characters are moving the lips exactly like the voice, so it feels like it's the character talking and not the voice recorded separately. It doesn't have to look separate. It has to look seamless, you know.
Wow. So you had to listen to Mandy Moore say lines a billion times. Do you hear her voice and just get chills? I mean, ugh, Mandy, shut up.
Yes, we get the same audio clip for forever, for weeks, you know. Oh. 2 or 3 weeks listening to the same 3 seconds of audio.
Okay, I gotta know though. When you go to the movies then and finally see the movie and you're with your wife, I don't know if you have kids or not, but you're with your friends or your wife or whatever, are you sitting there going, that's my scene, that's my scene?
Yes. I normally squeeze my wife's hand. I grab her, you know, I grab her hand and I squeeze a little bit. And that's the indication that that's my shot. I did that.
And at the end of the movie, do you watch for your name to go by and take a picture?
Yeah, well, I don't do that anymore, but my family, everybody does it. And they show it to me on Facebook. Look, I saw your name.
So your mama probably was like, my crazy ass son just drawing all the time. Like, never thought it would amount to anything. Here you are working at freaking Disney with your name in the credits. That's amazing.
Oh, I know. She's so proud. It's crazy. Every movie, like, and she does, she loves Facebook anyway. And it makes a lot of advertising for me. I don't have to say anything about the movie. She does all the advertisements. Go see my son's movie.
So what happens from here? Do you once an animator, always an animator, or do you actually, is there somewhere to progress to that you would like to be?
Well, once you're here, you can try to become a supervisor, which is, you know, like a step above, where you're not animating as much, but you're supervising and you're kind of managing a group of people. That could be interesting thing, but the fact that you don't animate that much is kind of not appealing to me. I really like doing my work, so if I can, you know, keep animating, I'll be happy doing that.
All right, so I just looked you up on Facebook, and yeah, this is no computer nerd, ladies. He's actually hot. That's really not fair.
There's a lot of hot animators. I mean, we're not computer nerds. So.
You don't have to say. You don't have to follow that up. I'm letting everybody know.
I mean, there's a bit of everything. Yeah. All right.
You're like, well, there are some nerds. Okay, sorry. Listen, Daniel, this has been amazing. I could talk to you for hours about this. This is so exciting. Congratulations on all the success of all of these movies. I mean, my gosh, your name is associated with the biggest movies on the planet for forever. So congratulations. And congratulations to your mama, who's so proud of her boy. And
yeah,
you don't even need to do promotion. Just put your mama on stage with Conan O'Brien. Oh, she'll talk to him.
Oh, yeah. We will sell you the movie. She will take you to go and watch it a million times.
Aww, that is proud, so mom.
Very good. Well, give your mom a shout out. What's her name?
Daniel Martin Peixe.
And what's your mama's name?
What's my mom? Ilda.
Ilda. Well, Ilda, you did a good job. You did a good job.
Like Elsa. Maybe she was the princess. There you go. Elsa.
I don't think she can hear you guys from Spain, but.
Oh, she can. We'll send you a link. She can listen to this.
Oh, yes. You guys.
Yeah, we're all internet. So we have a lot of listeners in Spain and Europe, actually.
Awesome.
Yeah. So we'll say hello to her. And thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me. That was fun.
All right. Take care. And also, we got to give another big shout out to Robin Walker and everybody at the Tri-Circle D Ranch, all our friends down there, Disney World Orlando. And if you want to meet Maximus like we did, you just head on over to the ranch and say that Glenn and Jamie said I needed to meet Maximus, and they'll take you to say hi to Maximus. So you can do that right here.
Here, Orlando. I got something for you. Lucas, who is that? Who's that?
Kids never talk when you want them to, Daniel. They never talk when you want
them
to.
He's standing behind me going, Maximus, Maximus, Maximus. I put the mic in front of his face. He's like, uh-huh.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye, Daniel.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Oh, there's a cool job.
Oh my gosh, what a cool guy. That was awesome. Good job. That was fun.
How much time? That's why there's 5,000 animators for every movie, is because they all, you know, it takes so long to just do one little segment.
I can't still,
you know, I have a better idea of the process now, you know, of how it all goes, but how they can consistently make those characters look consistent with all those different people doing it is still beyond me.
Well, what's really incredible, too, is that, you know, you've got this guy who does the animation, but the voices were probably done a year ago. And then the voices has to go to the that room. And then the movie gets made 2 years later. And then the actors are the ones that go out and promote it. And they hold on. But and then they actually do they even remember what they're promoting?
I know what they did.
I mean. How could they even remember? They did that voice 4 years ago.
That was very cool. Jennifer, you did a great job getting that set up as well. I know you worked hard on that for many months, so we appreciate your efforts in getting that set up. How cool. We do have a cool job, too.
Yeah, that was awesome.
All right, I thought, well, what a song could we play after that? And I thought, well, how about Templeton Thompson with A Horse That Can Fly? That sounded appropriate.
Let's animate that next.
Yeah. caged in, need to get a little air so I can breathe again. Got a thirst in my heart, hunger in my eyes, need to satisfy my soul, free my wild side. My wheels have been spinning like crazy in my head. Gotta get back to living before I forget. My sights are set where that green grass is, a good running start to get me over that fence. Yeah, 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 yeah. 'Cause I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride, fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, I'm holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah. Got a load on my back and a lot on my mind. Yeah, the weight of this world really gets me sometimes. There's a freedom inside me I've been missing so much. Gonna kick the gates wide open and leave a big old cloud of dust. Yeah, 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 yeah. 'Cause I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride, a fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, I'm holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah. Giddy up, look at what lies on the horizon. Second star to the left, then straight on till morning. Tell me somewhere to run, somewhere to run, a fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah, I need a horse that can fly.
Well, that was Templeton Thompson with A Horse That Can Fly. You can find all her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair, an amazing guest booker as well. And we're brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com. It's getting hot out there. Time to get some summer games, electrolytes in your cabinet. So head on over to kppusa.com and order yours today. A couple things here before we get started with really bad ads. I want to thank Three Studios Multimedia for putting together my new headshot. I don't know if you saw it, Jamie, but they did a great job with that while they were here filming last weekend.
Very dashing.
It was very good. I never had a real official headshot, and all these, when we do magazine articles and stuff, they keep asking for like high quality headshots, and I'm like, does my cell phone picture work? And I never really had one.
Can I take a selfie with my...
It's funny because Wendy was looking at the pictures they took while they were here, all the professionals, and she said, you know, professional photographers still do a better job than we do. So, yep, they do. I don't care. You cannot do that with your phone.
Absolutely. Horse show photographers, too. You know, and when you go to a horse show, you just can't argue with the quality of the pictures you're getting.
No, because they actually know how to do one thing, focus. They know how, they can, they have the ability to, and they know how to focus on the topic down at hand. And
videoing myself and then taking a screenshot of that exact moment, while it works fine, it's not the best.
Not the best. All right. Thanks to them. I really appreciate them providing that for us.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later.
He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when we have a little fun with listener-submitted bad ads, usually from Craigslist. And we have a terrific prize every month. And today, we're going to draw the prize winner. In just a few minutes, we're going to get Desiree Johnson on here of Smooth Stride Jeans after we do today's ads. And she's going to pick the winner for the month. And I know there's a lot of people wanting a new pair of riding jeans out there waiting to hear. So we'll get her on. We'll talk a little bit more about that then. And then next week, we'll announce our new prize for the month of June. All right, Really Bad Ads. Corinna sent this one in. Buck skiing gelding, $1,800. That's right, a buck skiing gelding. This, you can ride it and ski with it, whatever you want to do. 5 years old, 15 hands, 60 days training last year, sat all winter, put a saddle on him last weekend, and guess what happened, Jamie?
What did it happen?
He bucked, and he bucks some more. And he needs a home, and he will not, because it's not good for him to sit around, is what the ad says. So, yeah, he had 60 days of training. We let him sit all winter. We get on him, and he bucks. And now we're selling him because we're not going to do that again.
No. For the bargain price of $1,800,
$1,800, you can have a bucking buck skiing. Yes.
Gelding. That could be yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
When you get the training people, when you send it out for training, you really have to do something with it when it gets home. Just say.
It's such a waste of money.
It is.
Okay. Sorry. That's a tangent you and I could probably go on for a
half
while.
An hour.
You didn't train my horse good. Well, you didn't ride it for the last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry. The next one comes in from Abby. Abby submitted this one. It's Chestnut Dutch Warmblood in New York.
Fancy.
And this ad screams one thing. Okay. So just you can derive from it what you will. Cyan is an emotional horse that loves attention. He call out for you when he see you. Comes even when not called. He is jealous if other horses are ridden and he is not. We raised him from age 3 months the European way. Let him age before jumping so his bones are set. He has a beautiful trot and turns off pressure well. Stands for vet and farrier well. Needs trailer training to make him better. When he gets trailer training, he loads well. When he is not getting trailer training, he reverts. He loves other horses, but he wants to be alpha, but does not possess the true attitude to be one. Could do well at dressage if trained for it. Price is firm. If you really can't afford him, don't call me. Thanks. Didn't say how much he is, but
there's two words that come to mind for me.
What?
Spoiled brat. That's two.
Yes, exactly. He'll climb up on top of you whether you want him to or not. But he'll also climb up on top of you when you want him to. He's probably just a total bully.
He's barn sour. Spoiled. He's buddy sour. He's got every sour imaginable in here.
Yep.
And oh, by the way, if he doesn't get on the trailer when you try to load him, he's not trailer trained.
No.
No.
That's not trailer trained. Again, you can't train a horse and then 2 years later expect them to remember what you taught them 2 years ago. They're horses.
But he's a Chestnut Dutch Warmblood. Okay, Jamie?
Oh my, I know. He's got to be super expensive.
I know. It didn't say a price, but apparently we can't afford him because we're your client wouldn't be able to either, I don't imagine.
No, probably not. Not a $3,000 horse.
No.
Four-year-old pony mare. Rossi sent in the next one. That one's yours.
Well, Rosie sent this one in. Four-year-old pony mare. This mare is free to whatever kind of home you want to give the witch. She is pretty as a picture and meaner than a crocodile. She has the flight instinct of a rattlesnake. She leads, ties, and will lure you into the strike zone with good behavior. Just don't piss her off by doing things like tightening the girth or trying to use the reins. I have small grandkids and will not have her on the property. She will leave one way or the other. Take at your own risk.
Oh, my gosh.
I think if this pony doesn't find a home soon, the shotgun's coming out is my impression.
Sounds like it.
Oh, pretty much is a picture and meaner than a crocodile. I love this. My favorite line was, she will lure you into the strike zone with good behavior.
Nice.
All right. Alan sent in the following one. This is a short one. And there's a picture here that goes along with it. And it's of a cowboy riding a very large steer. 6-year-old longhorn steer for sale for $3,500. Mungo is broke to ride and drive and is gentle. Horns are close to 8 feet across. They measured them 2 years ago. It's probably 9 feet now. The horns on this thing are huge.
Like, I mean, it's enough to like fall off, but imagine falling off into a giant horn.
You know, these horns are so wide, I don't know that you could get to the end. But after you fall off and it falls on top of you, it's all bad. It's not a good situation.
No, no bueno.
They do have a bit in the thing.
They usually have that thing through the nose. Ugh, and it just so
grosses me out.
This looks
like a bit in the mouth, actually. When you look at it, it actually does look like a bit in the mouth. But who do you put this thing out with? I'm not putting those horns out with any of my horses.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
If any of our listeners have ridden the Longhorn Steer, we want to hear from you. We'll have you on the show.
Well, I was in Dallas, Fort Worth, and we went to downtown Fort Worth. There's a little cattle.
You did the running of the cattle.
Stuff.
Yeah.
No, but I watched it. And then they have some guy has a steer you can climb on and take your picture with. So I did that because, you know,
because it was a steer.
Why not? Because it was a giant longhorn. And while I was up there, I just like it made me flinch just looking at the points of those horns and thinking, you know, as a person that jumps horses, this thing stops. I'm going straight into that. Not that I would be jumping a steer, but they had the thing through the nose and it's kind of gross. Yeah. But if you've done that, let us know. I can't come here right now. I have to work. You sit down and eat your chocolate. Robin sent in the next one.
I need.
Yeah. I need you to come here. I need you to sit down. I need you to watch TV with me. I need you to play train. I need you to da-da-da-da-da, whatever. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
He just yelled, oh, let's play train. Robin sent in the next one. 1985 four-horse slant gooseneck. Slant gooseneck horse livestock stock trailer. Older steel trailer that has been on the coast and does have rust.
Just a little.
Just a little bit of rust. That means it's been on the coast, like on the ocean.
It's been in the water for 20 years.
Needs repair to center of roof, leaks, and damage to taillight areas at rear of trailer. Other rust seems to be mostly cosmetic and can be cured by painting. I believe it is structurally, it is sound. The floor looks good overall, and there's one spot along an interior edge that has some decay, but it's over a steel plate.
Oh, don't worry about that. It's fine.
So that giant hole.
Yes, it's fine.
It has a tack compartment in the rear with swing-out saddle racks and a rear entrance, and in the middle is a ramp. Dressing room area in the front. Oh, a ramp. Ooh. Dressing room in the front compartment. This trailer just needs a little repair, paint, and TLC. Did they spend more time saying what was wrong with it
than
what was right with it?
They did.
They'll trade it too, believe it or not.
Do you see the door to the dressing room is held on with a bungee cord?
Yeah. It's like not even on. And this thing is a couple different colors of awesome.
Yeah, a couple different colors of awesome. It's about 80 feet long. It's steel. You'll need a tractor trailer truck to pull it. But that maybe not so much anymore because the rust has eaten most of it away anyway. So it's probably
lighter
now.
I don't. The other rust seems cosmetic. There's just that, like, you know, the floor is like, you know, but if they fall through, they're on a steel plate, so they should be fine.
I don't know if it has tires because once again, they haven't mowed around it in about 20 years. So we're not sure about the tires.
Exactly.
Yeah, can't see those. Thank you, Robin, for sending that one in. Kate sent the next one in. Well broke husband and kid safe grade mare. $1,000.
Oh my God. I thought it was a well broke husband.
I did too for a minute. Around 14.2 hands, roughly 1,100 to 1,200. Holy crap, that's one fat pony. She is a very easy keeper. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, no kidding. She's breathing.
We have ridden her out at Skull Hollow many times. The full 8-plus mile loop. She is tougher than pine nuts. Possible terms, great trade for good hay. So, because she hasn't eaten at all, 1,200 pounds on a 14.2 hand horse. Jennifer's new thoroughbred, we weighed him yesterday. He's like 16 and a half hands or more, and he weighed 1,200 pounds.
Wow.
That's amazing. Fat pony. You'd need a muzzle. Pony. A muzzle would be a good idea.
Don't worry about the fact that his coffin bones are coming through his front feet. That has nothing to do with his
tough
stillness.
As pine nuts.
He's totally fine. He's as a pine knot. Tough as a pine knot.
Sorry. Yes.
I like pine nuts better, though, so I let it go. Kate's in the next one. This is a screenshot from Facebook. Oh, this is fun. This is from the page Horses, Tack, and Other Horse Equipment for Sale in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. Looking for a horse trainer. Free. This is in Foster, Rhode Island. I need someone to train my 9-year-old mare from the ground up, preferably on my farm. I have a round pin. I'm in Foster, Rhode Island. She's smart, but she has a really stupid owner. I just want to do right by her. References required. The lowest I've been quoted so far a month is $2,000 off farm. I need to raise my prices.
Yeah, you do. I was going to say, that's a lot of money. Well, maybe you should get some. If you're the stupid owner and you want to get your horse trained, maybe you should be trained at the same time. Just
yeah, why don't you take some lessons?
Lessons would be good. That's just a pet peeve of ours.
Yeah.
Tabitha sent the following one in. That's one of my favorite names, Tabitha. Sent the following one in. This is also, I don't know, it's also off of Facebook. 15'3", 10-year-old, thorough what? No.
Thorough twat.
Thorough twat gelding. Free to anyone who enjoys wasting their time running around a field. Must be able to tolerate constant worry and stress along with ridiculous vet bills. Great to shoe, providing you don't tie him up. Fantastic to load, but will crap himself as soon as you start the engine. Brilliant to clip if you have a headache that nothing but a kick to the face will sort out. Huge presence in the school. He rides like a double-decker bus that's rusty.
He has that sounds fun.
He has massive scope to jump, but is terrified of colored poles, ditches, and natural fences. Good in traffic, terrible when there's none around. Great dressage prospect. The best sideways canter you'll ever experience. Just a couple of health issues. Bad teeth, but good with dentist. Loves infections and is a huge hypochondriac. Heartbreaking giveaway of by far the least affectionate horse I have ever met. Only letting him go as I need to clear the debt I owe to the feed shop. Seen most farm equipment and lots of dogs, hates them all. Doesn't buck or rear, but I'm sure that will come in time. We'll pass a 5-star vetting today, but might be lame tomorrow just to piss you off. Comes with tack that's worth more than he is. Has more clothes than Kim Kardashian. Appreciates none of it.
Oh, jeez.
That's the first time we've ever had Kim Kardashian in a really bad ad, but it's appropriate.
I mean, there's a time and a place for everything.
All right, you got the last one.
And this is going to matchmake. We could actually send this one to somebody up above. This is a screenshot from Facebook in Northern California Horses for Sale, that page. ISO Crazy Horse, in search of crazy horse for free. I'm looking for a crazy, wild, loco horse that is so fast and hot that nobody wants to ride them. I have no breed preference, and I don't care about color, gender, etc. Needs to be a decent-sized horse, though, because I'm almost 6 feet tall. Must be under 10. I want a horse that is so hot that everyone is like, gosh, you're nuts to ride that horse. And I can say, maybe, but so is he. So we work. But I want them to be fairly friendly. They don't have to be a puppy dog, but I don't want a horse that will bite me if I turn my back. A spooky horse? Absolutely fine. But they must be fast. I have a nice, calm, very well-trained, kid-friendly with supervision and a horse to trade. She's 13, great on trails, nothing spooks her. She's great. Why? Here he goes. Why, you ask, in the world would I want to trade a well-trained, calm horse for a horse that's insane?
I was asking that. Yes, I was thinking that.
And here's the answer. Because I want excitement. I am a very experienced rider, and I want a horse that will test me and make me better. I want a horse that doesn't let me get my guard down or they'll possibly throw me. I want a horse that I can grow with. There's so much wrong with that.
12? Do you think it's the kid's 12?
I don't know. I mean, 6 feet tall.
Okay, he's 13.
I don't even get it. I don't even know. Oh my God.
That's the opposite of most ads we get. I got to say that. That's the exact opposite.
Yeah, it is total opposite. Total opposite.
Also submitted ads this week, but didn't make the final cut, were Reginald, Misty, April, Paige, Angela, Lisa, and Deb. Thank you so much for sending your ads in. We might get
to them for
next week. Yeah, future episode, and keep sending them in. Sometimes we get duplicates also. So thank you to everybody who sent those in. That's funny. All right, well, now we're going to head off. We have to do the important item on the agenda of giving a prize away, and I have to call live on the air also. So I am going to give Desiree a call here. Desiree Johnson is the owner and inventor of Smooth Stride Jeans. Desiree, are you there?
Hello, this is Desiree.
Hey, how are you?
Good morning, Glenn, Jamie, and Jennifer. I'm doing
morning.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
Hey. Now, Jamie does not know this, but somebody... Oh, crap. I'm sorry about that. I lost my page. Somebody has a birthday today. Happy birthday, Desiree.
Actually, thank you so much. It's Sunday.
Well, you're not here on Sunday, so we have to wish you a happy birthday right now. And also, it's your anniversary, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
How many years?
11.
11. Well, let's hope you go for 20. Let's shoot for 20 next.
Yep.
That's your next goal.
All righty.
And I met your husband. He's a really nice guy.
Yes, he is.
He's helped you get this business started with the Smooth Stride Jeans. And by the way, Wendy has been wearing her Smooth Stride Jeans and loves them. So
wonderful.
Yeah. So we now have a bunch of hosts here at the Horse Radio Network loving their Smooth Stride Jeans. And I know they've been selling, haven't they?
Yes, they have. They're just flying off the shelf. I've got a full day of work to do, and I'm excited, very excited.
Good. Very good. Well, you know, we were there at the beginning of this company. We were there when this company came out of the womb and was born. And we're glad that we're here along for the ride as well. That was kind of gross. Sorry about that. I apologize. So now we're going to pick a winner of the Smooth Stride Jeans and just tell everybody what they get.
Well, I'm going to let them decide which style they want. So, because some girls like full seats, some don't want any of the micro suede. So I'm just going to get in touch with whoever the winner is and work with her and make her happy.
And Jamie, which one did you get? You got the knee patch, right?
The knee patch, but it's really cool because it's not just a knee patch. You know, sometimes you worry about where the knee patch is going to sit. Is it actually, because my legs are short, kind of where is it going to sit on your knee? And this one started above, like right above the knee and goes all the way down. So it's like a half full seat almost. And so it's perfect because it doesn't matter where the knee patch is, you know, for
half chaps needed with those.
I know, right?
Yeah. Cool. Very good. Well, we thank you so much for donating this prize this month.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I know that some of the auditors were asking about the jeans. You can find them at smoothstride.com. You can go order your pair today. All right, Jennifer, what numbers does she pick from?
She needs to pick a number between 1 and 172.
56.
56.
She came up with that quick.
Yeah, why? Where, what's the significance?
That's my birthday.
Wow. There you go. Perfect.
56. Number 56 is Corinna Marote. Congratulations, Corinna.
Yay, Corinna. Woo. She submitted one today. She had the buck skiing gelding today. I remember that. Well, thank you, Corinna, for submitting your ads, and we'll get you in touch with Desiree, and you'll get a brand new pair of Smooth Stride Jeans. Thank you so much, Desiree. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
All right.
Yay,
take
Desiree.
Care.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. You guys have a great
She faded off. So smoothstride.com is where you're going to find that. And we'll let you know what next month's prize is next week. Well, that's it. We'll let you go because you know what? I need to go.
Where are you going?
I just need to go. I need food. I need a lot of things too.
You're going to go look at that trailer?
You know what? I think husbands are a lot like children, aren't we, actually, when you think about it? We need a lot of things as well.
If you tell me you need dinner and then you need to go swim and then you need to go ride chili and that you need popcorn and that you need to go cook eggs and that you need to watch Minions again and that you need to play trains and you
How
need
How did
my
I
daddy?
Know that would get you started again? I figured we started the show with that. We might as well end it with that.
By the way, this morning when he came in, he was like, I need a cookie bar.
Where That's did he learn called? The I need from anyway?
I don't know, but I'm like, you have to understand there's a difference between I need and I want. And those things are two totally different things. I've tried reading The Boy Who Cried Wolf, like him, because he'll be outside and be like, help, help.
And you think
run
he's drowning?
And like, his shoe fell off. I'm pretty sure you can walk without your shoe.
He runs around naked most of the time.
I know. But the ground's getting hot now, so he's naked with shoes.
Oh, got it. Yeah. He must have suntan in all the wrong places, that kid.
I took him swimming yesterday, and he took his pants off in front of, like, you know, eight different girls. And they're like, his butt is so tan. I'm like, I know. I can't keep pants on the kid. No tan lines. That's my kid.
All right. Well, we know your child is needy and that you're probably being needed right now for something. So,
yes, thank you. Keep saying that word. I'm going to punch you through this microphone.
And I know you need to go Sunday to look at that horse, and we need to hear about it on Monday, okay?
Oh, my God. Stop saying the word.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Hey, Neuter Geld. Have a good one.
You need to.
Go watch Tangled now. I need to.